Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Scotland to the World Wide Web. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is JP in the new slot. This is Journeys with JP. And tonight is a kind of, I'm just going to see what comes up, because nothing's come up. So maybe somebody was going to call in. Do feel free to call in. Maybe there's some need that needs to be served. I'm starting to learn to recognize these feelings. One feeling that I've been experiencing recently is a kind of, it's not quite a bored feeling, but it's a feeling like, you know, I really need to talk to somebody who really gets me. Kind of feeling. I'm sure you've all felt that. And that feeling, in the last few times I've felt it, have now been followed, maybe 2 or 3 hours later, by meeting a new person who is, in fact, of that kind of ilk. And I think this is what we're talking about when we're talking about living a spontaneous life, because our feelings tell us something. And they're not always the description. They're not always what they're billed as it were, you know. So what I should now kind of repaint that feeling of bored and needing as an expectancy. That I'm, you know, actually going to be doing something really quite positive. So it's a negative feeling, but there's a sense there that actually that negative feeling is like the tide drawing back before the wave comes in. So I think that's an interesting thing to start with. So has anybody in this chat room say hello to me? So hello Dave, and hello everybody in Wolf Spirit Radio, and hello everybody in Revolution Radio, Studio B. The Bees, Tom, are you in this group? Are you in this call? Are you actually listening, or are you out on them? Can you tap into this call? That's what I want to know. Anyway, This I found was a very interesting feeling. And feelings are where it's at these days. It's all about what the feelings are. And the feelings are not just, anger and, fear, and, you know, these basic ones, but there are, many more subtleties to feelings, than there are to emotions. Emotions are those basic ones. That's like, you know, it's like the, you know, the things that make you move. Emotion, it encourages it evokes motion, emotion. So something like anger gives you the energy to overcome an obstacle, for instance, you know, like something in your path. That's what anger's for. And fear gives you the energy to run the heck away, or hide, or, you know, have those clever little thoughts that you get, that you only get when you're in a state of panic. You know, you have these amazing ideas and insights. But feelings are much more subtle than the sort of rough cut emotions, and there are supposedly 22 inner senses, or maybe there's 22 senses altogether, including 5 outer and 17 inner. Now I haven't got it down in knowing the names of all the different feelings and all the different senses. You could say that one sense, for instance, is the sense of symmetry. You know, we have an innate sense of looking. We always look for something that is symmetrical and are drawn towards symmetry. There's a kind of magic in symmetry. I've got a picture on my Facebook, and all it was I just took a photograph and then used Photoshop to reflect it and then merge the two halves together, and it looks completely magical, as if, you know, some painters made this amazing piece with all these bits in it that have meaning. It appears to have meaning. Meaning is where feelings are as well, because, you know, for something to have meaning, it gives you a particular feeling. So, I'm just wondering. I wonder if anybody's listening. So I'm just looking at, there's several chat rooms here, and yes. Hello, everybody. Yes. So there I was, feeling this feeling, and, you know, feeling quite negative, you know, thinking, oh, you know, nobody understands me and all of that stuff, when, you know, I know full well that there are people in the world who understand me, but there was this feeling there. So this is a chance for me to reprogram what that feeling means, and what the resulting, I'm trying to formulate the word for it. So instead of having a negative thought about this kind of thing, that I actually modify that to be a positive thought, thinking, well, if I have that feeling again, I'll recognize quite a lot earlier that, I'm going to meet someone new tonight. I'm going to have a nice conversation. And, you know, this is not about dating. This is, you know, just about, like, making contacts and meeting people and interesting people and things like that. So that's one, in a sense. I think the sense that, you know, when you walk into a room and there's a picture, it's just like 1 millimeter too high on the left and 1 millimeter too low on the right, and you notice it. So that's got to be a sense, hasn't it? It may be that it's the same as the sense of symmetry, you know, that we draw a line down the middle of everything, and if there's a balance in there, we can sense that. I think that's an inner sense. So that might be the same thing. Feelings. The trouble with feelings is that the same equipment that we use for detecting them is the same equipment that we use for detecting emotions and to identify what emotions that we're experiencing. And the problem with that is that the emotions can be blocked, so some people are stuck in an emotion. That's not good for lots of reasons. And if anybody's ever been listening to any of my shows when I've been talking about the experiences that I've had with ghosts here, and the communications that I've had with these beings, is the one thing that is common to all of them is that they are all stuck in a emotion. Some are stuck in guilt, some are stuck in anger, some are stuck in resentment, but they're all stuck in some kind of emotion, some derivative of fear. And it's been quite an education actually. And the education is that if one day at random I should leave my body, if there's any unresolved feelings and emotions in my body, that holds me to the earth and I become a ghost. That's not a good idea. It really slows you down, evolution wise, because otherwise you'd go straight into another body. But, you have to go, you know, you have to go to the central sun and be recycled. It's like, coming back and delivering your payload of life experiences to the sun, who is our representative of the great galactic core, which is what you might call, you know, the one or God, or the part of the being, the intelligent cosmic being that we are, you know. And going back into the central sun allows that to that spiritual energy to recycle and refresh and renew and come back into the incarnation cycle, having been refreshed like that. So, hanging on to emotions, and you never know when you're going to pop off. You know, it could happen today, tomorrow. I think, you know, hundreds of thousands of people are going to die tomorrow. You know, I might be one of them. So, if that were to happen, I'd better make sure that I walk around in a clear place, that I'm not emotionally attached to anything. Because if I did suddenly leave this planet, I'd still be stuck here, but without a body. And that can be very frustrating, according to the beings that I've been speaking to. Hey, Tom, you work on your feelings. Do feel free to join the call if you've got kind of access to that, Tom. But hang on, hello. Let me just start this here. I have a message. All right, I also have the Wolf Spirit Radio telephone. So if you'd like to call in on 775-657-5973 or the Revolution Radio number, which is, I have no idea what it is. It's got a double eight in it. But anyway, most people are on Skype anyway. If you're on a computer, you're listening to this on a computer, and you're on Skype, call me on Skype, wolfspirit.switchboard or Freedom Screen. So either of those will get you into this call, into this show. You're listening to Journeys with JP. Oh, by the way, both Revolution Radio and Wolf Spirit Radio are listener supported, and please donate to the contributions donations buttons. You will find quite prominently on both sites, on Freedom Slips and Wolf Spirit Radio. Yeah, so I was talking about feelings and emotions, and that there are many, many inner feelings. Let's think of some other inner feelings, shall we? Well, obviously that sense of balance, your sense of, well, your sense of warmth. You know, there's a sense that you get from another person that you either feel warm towards them or you don't. That's an inner sense. Yeah, that would be a good idea. I should start researching things before I start talking about them. But maybe it's good for everybody. Just research them. You know, see if you can think of any other inner senses. The sense of your own heart beating. The sense of, well, the heat of your own skin. I believe that the skin has a lot more subtlety in its perception of things. I think more than touch. You know, we have the sense of touch, but we also can feel heat with our skin. And that's what we call infrared energy. And infrared energy is more than just heat. And so I believe that there's a communication that happens on a very slow level over the infrared band. And for instance, one example is when two people are attracted to each other, they get hot in certain areas of their body. The lips get hot, you know, the forehead, you know, stuff like that. I believe that there are receptors that, you know, the skin has a receiver for that very slow frequency. It's a low frequency in light. And it's basically, you know, what you would say is your face would be flushing and draining, on a regular basis. And so that would be like a signal, like a Morse code signal. You know, it would get warm and then get cool on a particular frequency. All still frequencies. Yes. All about inner senses. And so I believe that, you know, we have this this connection between us that, you know, two people standing in front of each other have so much more than just the sound of their voice, the color of their skin and hair. There's the gestures that people make. If you're in instance, you know, thinking about the idea that we're kind of in a fluid. You know, say we're in a swimming pool and we were all talking and someone was talking with their hands, you know, very emphatically. It would be generating lots of splashing, lots of ripples. And so then you can imagine that, you know, water, the air is a fluid, just like water. It's much thinner. It's a thinner gas, but it's still a fluid and behaves the same way as fluids do. So if you wave your hands around, then other people, you know, some distance away will be able to feel that perturbance in the air around them because of that. And so you can get people who are very kind of jittery. They move, you know, they're making they're shaking. They're making all these little movements and breaths and darting from one place to another. That also creates a perturbation in the air. So everybody feels that disturbance, not just sees it. You know, we feel it as, and we feel that through our skin. So our skin can pick up low frequencies. I mean, if you've ever been to a reggae concert or a big rock concert and you walked in front of the bass bins, you can feel it. You can feel the music. That's because you can't hear anything anymore. You've just been deafened. All you hear is hee. But if you can, you feel the low frequency audio with your skin. And I also believe that we also feel low frequency infrared variations with our skin as well. So, you know, that's more than the sense of touch. It's the sense that you're actually able to sense something. Even if you're wearing gloves, I would say that you'd be able to feel the infrared of something. Obviously not. Yes. Right. I'm just having a look at the chat room and I really can't read there. That's better. Yeah, just an aside Free Sovereign is asking about Pip, who's my girlfriend's husky dog, who came to stay with me a few weeks ago. And one of the things that we discovered is that Dale Penadum's Lemurian headband had the most amazing effect on this creature. No, I'm not a doggy guy. I'm not a kind of major alpha male kind of figure. And so, you know, it was very difficult to kind of get this creature's attention. The moment I put this headband on, he just kind of relaxed, sat quietly, looked up at me as if it's like, okay, what's next, boss? Kind of feeling. It puts you in the center of a pool of ripples that are new. You know, it's like you've created your own atmosphere around you when you put one of these things on. Yeah. And, my girlfriend actually brought a larger Lemurian crystal, from London when she went to stay there. So I've got that in the middle of my, my headband now. So that's good. That's a slightly larger crystal. So, yes, this is Journeys with JP live on Studio B. Does anybody want to call in? I'm very happy to speak to people. Until then, I'll just blather on about stuff. Yeah, I was just going through some of the inner feelings and inner senses that we may have. Another one, a really important one, is our sense of time. Here's an example of a sense of time. You know, when I'm sitting here speaking on my own, it feels like the time is very long, because it feels like I'm working and I'm doing lots of work to kind of speak continuously. I've never really been somebody who speaks in this very long, speaking for a couple of hours, kind of thing. So it's difficult. It's hard work for me. And when somebody else is there, to talk of, the time just seems to whiz by. And we have, many examples of, like, where did that, we've only just started the show. So, I think that's lovely, we have an ability to change our sense of time. So that's why I like to speak to people. Burger with chili and fries. What the heck? Yes. Right. So if anybody would like to call in, it's wolfspirit.switchboard or freedom screen. You're trying to find the number. Oh, right. The dial-in number. Yeah. But I mean, if you're listening on a mobile, welcome. I'm not really used to the idea of people sort of driving around and listening to this stuff, because it's a bit sort of heady, but, I hope you're not going to be made to fall. Ah, there we go. Oh, that's a new number. So our new number is 424-256-1630. That's 424-256-1630. And that's, of course, in America. So that's, plus one. 44-256-1630. Yes. So, Mad, if you join in if you want to come in and talk about stuff. I've got a problem. I'm colorblind, so I'm not able to see the difference between certain colors. So I'm sure the one sense of color is very interesting, because I wonder if I'm affected the same way as other people do who can see color, or whether I'm just responding to the same frequency without seeing the color with my eyes. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about lots of things. Did you tune into this radio station to find out something definite? Yes. It's saying busy. I don't know why. Right. Okay. Well, definitely 657-5973, 775-657-5973. That will definitely work, and it comes through to me. And right, I'm going to close this other chat room because it's disturbing me seeing things coming up on other chats. There we go. That's lovely. All right. So, hey Tom, up there. Bloop bloop. There we go. Add to group call. Hey Tom, where are you? What's happened to you? You've gone. Maybe I'll bring you in. I'll call you. There we go. Tom?
There we go.
There we go.
For some reason, the number keeps saying busy.
Oh, okay.
Busy. I'm trying to sort you out, man.
Yeah. No wonder nobody's calling in. So how have you called it?
It just said that I missed a call, and I went to it, and it said join the call, so I did.
All right.
I'm on Skype, so.
All right. So you're connected in with the Revolution Radio Studio B.
Apparently, for some reason.
Right, okay. Oh, well, that's probably just for me. Anyway, yeah. How are you doing?
I think that number that is posted in our chat room is actually the server number, so that's is what the problem is. I'm not sure why. Didn't Hawk give you an extension number?
No.
He should have done that by now. We'll get on that tonight with him later.
Oh, is that? I saw all these number.
And we'll get you set up for sure. I'm sorry that it isn't done. It should have been already taken care of for you.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, most people come in through Skype anyway.
And you're showing offline to me, so I can't. Oh. I couldn't come in under your name because it just wants to give me a voice message.
Oh, really?
Because you're offline.
Oh, there you go. I'm back online now.
There we go. We were talking about feelings earlier. That's what I work off of, period. My feelings have never done me wrong.
Yeah. And
I get confused. Feelings and emotions are two different things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is what I was saying before. That there's, emotions are things that make you do things.
Right.
Yeah. A feeling is a receiving of energy. It's a picking up of kind of thing.
Yeah, I fully agree with you there now. But we'll get you all straightened out, and by next week you'll be all right. I'm sorry about the confusion. I thought you'd already been given a number, and that's why I was out there looking for it, and then it popped this number up. And I said, well, let me try that, and it wouldn't work. Kept saying busy. So I think that's the number you're on, if you know what I mean. When you called Studio B, I think that's the studio number itself.
Right.
That's going to have to be fixed out there in the chat room because we ain't supposed to be giving that out to people.
Oh, yeah, well, Sovereigns just asked me a question. As a musician, do I have absolute pitch? Many improviser musicians speak about relating the pitch frequency they perceive to specific colors, so blue, red, green. I have heard of this technique whereby you picture a color, and that color gives you a sound, and that sound is an absolute frequency. But like I said before, I'm colorblind, so I'm a bit limited in being able to, you know, I don't think in color because I'm kind of deficient in that zone. So maybe that's why I'm, you know, that's why I sing flat. Actually, I think I sing flat because I sing on 432 and not 440.
Do you dream in color?
My dreams are gray. They're very, what's that film? Blade Runner. My dreams are like Blade Runner. You know? Gray. Raining. That's been my world, you know, it's a gray, draining world.
So we got other producers now trying to find your number.
Doesn't matter.
So there are people listening, even though they ain't in the chat room.
Oh, that's very sweet. That's good. Because, I mean, what it seems like, everybody's logged into both chat rooms at the same time. Is that right?
When you log into the normal one, it logs you automatically into V2, and you have to switch it over up on the left-hand side. Uh-huh. We have the little R Revolution, and they have the big R Revolution.
Right.
In the chat room.
Okay.
That's the only difference.
I have, I use an MIRC, an IRC client to to get the chat room. So I have Wolf Spirit and Revolution Radio and Revolution Radio B all in the same box.
Yeah, I've been watching both of them just in case, because a lot of people are just sitting A and ask questions, but they're, and I would have forwarded them to you.
Mm-hmm. I've only got Studio B and Wolf Spirit just now, so.
Well, I'm watching the other one too, so.
So, yeah, in terms of, I've heard of that technique. Have you heard of that technique, Tom?
Yeah, but I'm not a musician. I can't bring out a pitch for nothing. If you know what I'm, I can't carry a tune. I can't play a tune. Y'all do it with air and vibration, and I do it on canvas. That's how I do my music. I look at, my art as a song, if you know what I mean.
Yep. Art is what feelings look like. Music is what feelings sound like.
Now that's a good interpretation. I've never heard of it that way. I like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I say, and I'm very interested in the whole subject of feelings, and not just feelings as in having hurt them. You know, there's so much about feelings and the subtleties. That's where we need to go. That's the place where the enlightenment lives, is in the feeling zone.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know, feelings, like I said, I work off them, and usually it's my first feelings, if you know what I mean.
Yes, very much.
My second feelings are usually tainted by emotion. What I think, what I feel, you know, what, I mean, because the guy's hair is different than mine, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
That prejudice starts setting in right after the first impression.
Yeah. Or in my case, that guy's got
trouble. Well, I was just using that as an example. Now, Hans asked for your Skype contact, so I sent it to him. He's another producer here at the, so he might be calling in.
All right, Hans. Oh, yes. Good, good. So, yeah, so there's loads of these inner feelings. I'm trying to quantify them. They're probably listed out somewhere. There's probably also something to do with the Kabbalah and the Hebrew alphabet, because there's 22 of them.
Now, Hebrew alphabet is very musical.
Yeah.
You know, that I've heard from several linguistics experts, that it's actually a musical language. So I wonder if we got actually 22 notes instead of just a few that we use.
Well, interestingly, most electric guitars have 22 frets.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
So that's how unmusically inclined I am.
Well, I mean, you know, that's just a, I've got two electric guitars. One of them has 22, and the other one has 24, which means it goes to that very high note that is exemplified on the guitar solo to Pink Floyd's Money. That really, really high note. He's playing on that on the 24 fret. It's just got two. It's just got like one extra note, and then you can bend that note up. Ah, what can I say?
Well, this is Hans, one of our other producers. Hans, this is JP.
Hi, JP. Very pleased to meet you, sir.
Pleased to meet you, Hans. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm well. Are you in America?
Yes, I am. I'm in Kentucky, if you're familiar with the United States.
Kentucky,
yes. Yeah.
He's not far from Nighthawk.
All right. Hang on. I need to put wood on the fire.
We've had a sort of half a gale today, and half the evening I've spent with my house flooded with smoke the wrong direction wind too fast is blowing down my stove in the kitchen, And it was just playing, it was, everything was backwards and upside down. It's been an upside down sort of day today. And
it's been that way all week for me.
Oh, it's
well,
been
all of last week. Everything's been backwards.
So how's things in Kentucky?
Oh, the last couple of days has been beautiful. We had a little frost here the last couple of nights, but as of tomorrow, it's going to be in the 80s all week long. No rain in the forecast. It's been raining here for weeks.
We've had the air conditioner on for weeks.
Oh, well, you're lucky. I hope I don't have to turn my air on for another month. How's the weather in the UK?
Well, I was going to say I've had my stove on for months, burning two bags of logs a day. I have to say, you know, from a previously rather sedentary life to this one where I have to kind of go and get wood and chop it and feed the stove and get up and do all these things. Now I'm starting to work in the garden, and I seem to have completely changed my life because I no longer eat meat because my body just says it doesn't want it anymore. And just I accidentally ate a piece of chicken the other day, and I've felt dreadful since then. It's very odd what's going on. So that's another symptom of what's going on generally for many, many people, I believe.
Well, I've recently stopped eating a lot of meat. We eat very, very little meat anymore around here, mostly vegetables and fresh fruits.
Oh, I can't help it. I'm a murderer. I got to have my meat.
You got to eat your death.
I got to have some meat.
Fresh death. Well, make sure it's somebody that you know.
If you're eating vegetables, you're still killing something.
Yeah.
I mean, our life depends on death of something else, period, you know? I mean, I hate to say it, but it does, you know?
But I tell you, Thomas, I feel much better since I've been eating less meat.
Oh, I don't doubt that now. I mean, I don't eat a bunch of it, but of course I don't eat a bunch of anything as little as I am.
So, are you having trouble with your phone lines, JP?
No, we haven't got even an extension yet for some reason.
Okay, you want me to go ahead and forward you my phone number for this evening?
Well, I mean, we can, it's fine, we can use the Wolf Spirit one just for the now.
Okay. Because
it's quite a good line, actually, the Wolf Spirit one, when people call in. I've found it's the best way of getting a landline into the radio network. Calling out using Skype is no good, but when people call in on a Skype number, it's really quite a solid line.
So
65775. There, start again. If you want to call in, please call 775-657-5973.
Yeah, I'm going to have to drop out here in a minute. I got to prepare for my show at 10.
Yeah, so do I. I was just worried about that you might not have phone number. But I hang around for a little while, JP, if you want me to.
Sure. It'd be nice to have a chat. It's one of those rather blustery nights. Here in Scotland, the wind is blowing, and it's been blowing for the last like 3 days.
When do you think you'll be able to plant?
Well, I planted some vegetables a little while ago, but there's a kind of disused greenhouse here, but the ceiling is just about to fall in, so it's really dangerous. I like to live dangerously.
Scotland is so beautiful. It's so green all the time.
Yeah, that's because it rains all the time?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I was born in Germany, so I've been to Britain and I've been to Scotland. I was a teenager back then, but I remember that everything was so luscious and green. The countryside is so amazing.
Yeah, and certain times of the year it's like bright gold from the gorse and bright purple from the heather. At different times,
I bet that's pretty.
Oh yeah, very very pretty.
I never made it to England. I wish I had, or the UK.
Still time.
I've been to Spain and France and Italy, a few other countries over there.
Wouldn't it be nice if we had some of that nice black technology where we could just teleport somewhere?
Oh, that would be beautiful.
You could have so many people jumping around the world all the time. Somebody would run into somebody.
Do you think their molecules, their waves would bounce off each other? There's a thing about a wave passes through another wave, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's pretty bizarre.
Yeah. How does that work?
I know atoms will turn into waves. They've proven that.
Yeah.
And turn back to matter. I thought that was a pretty interesting experiment. I don't know if you ever seen it.
Is that the double slit experiment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome, I think.
Yeah.
That just kind of reaffirms that everything is a frequency of some type.
That's right. We're all a wave, and yeah, we're all standing waves. Do you know what standing waves are?
I'm not familiar with them either.
I'll just tell you what a standing wave, then you'll know what it is, right? Say you had, so happened to have a loudspeaker turned upside, turned on its side, so it's pointing upwards, and you had a kind of bowl of water. You balanced that bowl of water on the speaker. It's not a good nice square bottom, say, it easily sits on the speaker. And then you just so happen to have a signal generator, an amplifier that could, give you your frequency through the speaker. You go up and you see the ripples on the bowl, on the surface of the bowl. And they're kind of zigging around. And there comes a point when they stop moving and they create a form. Have you ever seen anything like that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, they've held some experiments in the Great Pyramid with that same thing, and certain tones create certain images in certain fluids and sands that are pretty awesome looking.
So it's like the sand. It turns everything into the sand, because that's what a standing wave is. It's like the wave is bouncing off and back, and eventually it all comes into a focus. And that's what a laser is as well. A laser creates a standing wave that then kind of finds its way out of one tiny little slot that allows it out. So that's how the laser works. But it creates a standing wave is the result of several waves interacting with each other and creating and destroying each other. And
sort of like ripples in water, huh?
Exactly.
Yes.
And it's when the ripples coincide in a productive way. You can have two peaks, and two peaks will go make a size twice as high. But a peak and a trough will make a size of zero. Two troughs will make a trough twice as deep. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Kind of explains them rogue waves too, if you think about it.
Well, this is how waves behave.
Yeah.
Wave behavior. behave like a wave. And avoid the grave. Oh, that would be a good one. So yes, a standing wave is that thing that is the result of waves bouncing off certain limitations or edges or forms, and so they've discovered that's the nature of reality, is that atoms and things like that appear because of the standing waves, because they are standing waves in some other medium, and they keep having to avoid the E word, which is ethers. It's like they tried to get rid of this word 100 years ago because they said that's what the nature of everything else that we can't see is called, the ethers. And then eventually scientists said, oh no, ethers don't exist. That's just an old, silly old way of thinking, like the flat earth. And now they're actually having to come back and say, all right, yeah, well, there is this stuff that exists apart from the stuff that we can't see, and just for the sake of something, we used to call it ethers, okay? So they're coming around to discuss to discovering that what they already knew, or what we already knew, which was that there are levels of ethers, which are the finer grained reality. So imagine like you've got a solid, you've got ice, and you've got liquid, which is water, and then you've got gas, which is water vapor, and then you've got the next stage, which they call fire, which is plasma. Water is a plasma, single atoms, highly energetic. And then beyond those are the ethers.
In the quantum mathematics, they actually prove that empty space is full of stuff.
That's right.
That would be what people would have considered an ether too.
Yeah. So I think plasmas are the ethers, and that there's octaves of plasma. You know, we think that at the moment there's just plasma, but I think there's more than one kind of plasma.
Oh, I don't doubt that a bit. We know what, 1% of knowledge in the universe?
Oh yeah, you think?
I think if we're lucky.
I think we'd be lucky. I think we'd be really lucky, you know.
Definitely everything.
But then we'd be doing pretty well.
Yeah, I think we'd be doing good if we knew that much.
Just say everything in the universe is frequencies.
That's right. That's right. My guest last night on Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio was Shari Edwards, who is a frequency healer.
And, I think I've heard of her.
Oh, you got to tune into this woman. Literally. I mean, I've got lots of archives with interviews with her.
I think that's why they say laughter is good medicine, because the frequency of laughter is a certain frequency, you know? Everybody hits it, even though everybody's laughter sounds different. You're still hitting that particular frequency, you know?
Well, Shari's main idea is that everybody's got their own signature frequency, their signature sound. And that what she has actually empirically discovered is that there is a correlation between the date of birth and the note of the frequency, the note of their signature sound. And that correlation occurs in 80% of the subjects.
A big percentage.
Exactly.
Did she ever give you a frequency range from one to the other?
How do you mean?
If we all put out a different frequency, is there a certain range we start from, a given range, so to speak?
Well, there are kind of, I imagine it's more of a bell curve kind of thing.
Okay.
But there are people she's measured, like a shaman. And there's people, she's also measured Tibetan monks and medicine men and this like that. And they have kind of extreme frequencies. So their frequency may be extremely low. Like,
like JP.
or their frequency might be, up in the high, dog whistle range. You know, that sort of.
I have to believe JP is a shaman. He just don't realize it. I'm serious. I do. I do believe that. You show a lot of people a lot of things, man.
Oh.
And you open up a lot of people's minds.
Ah, well, that's
good. I happen on more than one occasion on your when I've listened to your shows with the people in chat.
Excellent. Well, that's the
I really haven't listened much to you, JP, but I'm starting to like you.
I talk about stuff, and I try not to be, I'm not like somebody who wants to stand in front of a crowd. I'm not like a politician.
And you don't have a great big ego like some.
I don't have a big.
No, he's a humble man like you are and like I am. You know, we're here to help spread knowledge and we're not out here to be famous.
That's right.
Right.
I came on the internet looking for information that I found that I had the most information on already. And then I started talking about it, and I discovered that as I spoke about it, I got more knowledge and more understanding. And it's like a kind of fractal process. The more you explore it, the more you know about it. And at the same time, it becomes simpler and more obvious that everything is the way it is.
There's such a vast amount of information out there. It's mind-boggling, you know?
Yeah. But it's really, you can condense it a lot if you know about this stuff that I talk about, which is the seven rays.
Okay. I'm not very familiar with your seven rays, but I will be listening to you, I promise.
Excellent. Thank you, Hans. I mean, it's very nice to meet you. Are you a producer? Are you a host? Do you have a show?
Yeah, I'm producing Kerry Cassidy. I'm producing at Nikki Tetsy. I'm not sure if you heard of those. Any of them. And I also produce Monique Lazan.
What was that last one?
Lazan, Monique Lazan. She's a private investigator, private eye.
Oh. Cloak and dagger. Excellent.
Yeah. Producing is not always what it is. It's a lot of work in the background, but it's fun. It's fun. And I enjoy it. And that's the main thing. Mm. And you learn a lot from people, you know.
So, your producer, you got your sound equipment and things?
Yes, I do. Yeah. I got a 24-channel mixer, which I haven't hooked up yet. I got a Shure mic, a Sony a headphone set. I mean, I got professional stuff. And I'm running, I don't know if you ever heard of a Behringer.
Yeah. I have a 1622.
Oh, I think that's what I got.
Yeah, it's the best. It's got two buses, you see, and so you can join two computers together and send.
Yes, that's exactly. Ways. You send it to monitor studio.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Love it.
I got Skype.
What kind of microphone do you use, JP?
This is an M Audio Solaris.
I'm using a Shure. Well, the one I'm on now is just a Sony. Mm-hmm. It's just a headset, but the mic I usually use is the Shure mic. That's an excellent frequency range, lows or clean as can be. The highs are there, you know. Mm-hmm. But we're still only sending 56K, so you're not getting everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. It's but I like the compression that this mic gives me, you know. It's like.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
I just got a little old Skype mic.
Yeah.
That's my next project, is getting a good mic.
Yeah. Well, I think Behringer also do a USB studio mic. If you don't want to go down the mixer road and you want to have a nice signal going in, you can get a USB. That's about $100.
Well, that ain't
bad. That's not too bad. No.
I think this thing cost me $20.
Yeah.
I mean, but it does good, you know, for what I do.
Mm-hmm.
But that Sony headset I bought was $100 by itself. Just the headphones.
Well, that's all this is a Skype-compatible headphone.
Oh, okay.
Logitech.
Is that fire you hear popping in the background?
Yeah. Yeah, I got a stove and the wind's blowing high. So
it's so relaxing. I love fires. We have fireplaces here. And I just enjoy them in the wintertime.
Is that all you heat with, is fire?
Yeah.
No. Oh, you do?
Yeah.
There's the break.
You don't need to expect me. I've always been here. This is JP. Journeys with JP. Tonight I'm with Hans and Mad Painter. So, guys, listen. I'm going to talk about things that guys don't want to talk about. I want to talk about feelings, okay?
Did we talk about feelings, JP?
Well, I was. This is where I was at right at the beginning. And, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, Do You Love Me? But, actually, Tom, do you love me? No.
But, I love everybody, man.
Exactly.
There's soul on this world I hate, man. No matter how cruel or, you know what I mean. Mm. I mean, I dislike what people do, but there's nobody I hate.
Mm.
Not truly hate, no.
You know, that's a word that I don't think even should exist myself.
Well, it's all about fear. Yeah, it's a feeling, you know. We're talking definitely about feelings. It is one of the negative feelings, and it is one of the feelings that is very common. Hatred, you know, it's like a combination, feeling, expression of fear for a start. And, anger. So it's like you're wanting to get something out of your way, but you want to run away from it at the same time. The feeling of fear is about, wanting something completely gone, isn't it? The feeling of hatred. It's like, you hate that fly, that blue bottle that's been buzzing around your room all weekend, you know. You wish it had there was a final solution to all the flies in the world. That's the kind of thing with hatred, isn't it?
Well, I dislike a lot of things, but I don't hate anything. I mean, there's a big difference between disliking something and hating something, I think. Hate's one of them feelings that we could do without, I believe. You know, it's like fear. Fear is the same way. I mean, when you're fearful, you don't use reason. You don't use your other feelings and your other senses. You either want to haul butt out of there or you want to stand and fight, you know?
That's right. So that's
instead of reason your way.
Mm. So that's the emotion there.
Yeah, that's the emotion that clouds the feeling.
Mm.
That was what I was saying at the beginning. You know, there's a difference between feelings and emotions, a big time. And once you learn to control the emotion, your feelings can, you know, guide you a lot further than the emotion will.
I think so. I'd say so.
I have a hard time trying to put things to articulate them into words.
I think you're doing very well.
I know what I mean, but get it out. It's another.
Tom, yeah, I think you're doing all right.
It's another thing now.
Mm. So Hans, are you one of these guys that can express their feelings?
Well, I think it's probably better to ask somebody else about me. I think so. I really do. I don't fear. I gave up fear a few years back. I mean, I used to fear dying. It's just part of life. We're dying from the day we're born, actually. I don't fear death anymore. I don't hate. And if somebody speaks about hate, I try to talk to them or, I don't know how to word it.
Yeah, well, you've done it with me. Over it's one just, of our it, other hosts, remember?
Yeah, but it just comes naturally. I mean, I just say how what I think. I mean, it's just within me. I think I'm pretty open toward other people, and I don't hide my feelings. If that's the question, or if that's the answer you want at JPI.
I think good. I mean, there are some people that don't like to talk about feelings, don't like to share.
I don't mind sharing. I mean, I think it's good to be open about anything, pretty much. We are an open book, really. Well, I am anyway. If you get to know me, if you ask me anything, I answer. I mean, I have nothing to hide.
So,
I believe that Hans is exactly the way he's talking. I mean, I've talked to Hans a few times, and he's settled me down about problem I had with one of the other hosts calmed me down.
Well, I calmed another host down, too.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. You calmed him down, too.
But it's just the ways other people perceive, or I guess perceiving is the right word. And he had so much anger in him. And anger can cause so much conflict. But he's a completely different person. He listens now instead of jumping to conclusion. I think when a person starts jumping to conclusion, they make false, or they get a false impression, so to speak.
Yeah, coming to an early judgment without full information. It's
exactly.
And
that's kind of what I'd done with this other host, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Hans took care of it. He done an excellent job at it too, you know. He got out pretty quick.
Well, we don't have to boost. I mean, I just who I am. I don't. It just comes natural.
It's just showing the person that you are, you know.
Yeah, and I do care. And I do care. And, a lot of people, I think, they're just not able to show their true feelings. I mean, and it's hard to express yourself on a chat. If you don't see the person, you can't look at them in the eyes. It is just hard to see words. Words sometimes don't mean nothing in a chat, you know. It's just words.
Chat, you can't express emotion in a chat other than anger.
Not necessarily anger. You just basically make your point, I think.
You see how some of these trolls get.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's necessarily anger. It's just my belief is they're just trying to piss people off, basically. Honestly. I mean, look, and it's pretty much the people that are Jew bashing.
So what's happening here is you know, people are pinning feelings and emotions onto that which they think is to blame, you know. So it's still an example of what's being called victim consciousness, rather than being able to choose your reality and choose your future and manifest your destiny. Isn't that part of your constitution, to manifest your destiny? Is that the idea of it?
I pretty much try to.
Can you truly manifest your destiny, JP?
I think so. I think it's possible. I think that's the idea.
I think it stays within certain guidelines of what's happening in the world. I think it's very possible.
You know, imagine if everybody actually did manifest their destiny.
We'd be in trouble.
Their soul. No, we'd be in joy. We'd be in such an amazing place. You know,
I don't know,
if people could manifest their destiny without being killed by a power company, we would have free energy vehicles flying around the world in seconds, you know, never hitting each other. That's what, you know, that's what the free market does. I don't want to start about free market economics or anything, but when people are allowed to do what they want to do, they don't do bad things. What's the point? People only do bad things because they've been abused, I believe.
Well, ego has a part to do in that.
Well, ego happens because we've been traumatized.
Yes, exactly.
Well, maybe, yeah.
You know, I don't. You know, I really don't want to judge, and I don't encourage it either. So
no, but
everything's got there's a push pull lever action that goes on throughout history, and that's how we get to where we are today. You know,
so I think that judging is.
I'm sorry, Tom.
I think that judging fits into that hate category.
Mm.
To a certain degree, I agree. But I think we still, I try not to judge, but I catch myself at times still judging, even though I don't mean to.
you got to judge some things, you know. I mean, that's all part of the human nature.
All right, let's get a bit more specific. Let's get a bit more specific. Basically, when I'm using the term judge, I'm saying this is good, this is evil. That's judge. Okay. It's saying that that something is worthwhile keeping, i.e. it's good, or this thing needs to be destroyed right now, i.e. it's evil. And what I'm going to propose is that this is actually a form of thinking. This whole, you know, this whole way of looking at things in terms of good and bad, it's called duality, and that there are other ways of thinking that involve other options that are not necessarily good, bad, yes, no, that there's a lot more kind of maybe in it. It's not gray area, it's a rainbow area. You know, I'm seeking to expand our way of looking at things. Right before you said earlier, Tom, we hardly know 1% of the universe. We only see through a little narrow slit of electromagnetic frequency vibrations called light. We only hear through a little narrow slit of acoustic vibrations we call sound. All of these things should tell us that there's a lot more to the universe than we perceive.
And see, that's something mankind does, is it judges by just what it can feel and, you know, and what its five senses can give it.
Exactly. But the new mankind, the new humanity, the evolved human, the ascended human, has more developed inner senses. And at the moment, this is only available to those people that we call the powers that be or the elite. To have sensitivity and knowledge of these more subtle ranges of frequency. Now, this is what Siobhan and maybe others, but certainly myself, are doing. And this is the release of the information that the elite know. What's called esoteric information. This is what the seven really.
Have you ever seen the movie The Secret?
Oh yeah,
that's an awesome. Little documentary there. It's kind of talks about the same thing.
Mm. Well, this is and that, here's a thing, right? And this is something that The Secret doesn't talk about. This is what I'm very interested in. Okay, so. Alright, say you got a soul, right? And say you got a soul that is the sum total of all of your past incarnations and future incarnations. Okay? And that somehow in some way we're able to communicate with this thing. And, this thing can communicate to us and all of these things. And some people actually get to talk directly to it. And some people even get to allow it to talk through them. This being could also be incarnating in multiple people at the same time. That means there may be a dozen or so Toms and a dozen or so Hanses all over the world who are doing very, very similar things, but perhaps in different languages, simultaneously. The soul, I believe, is a lot more complicated than the way we've been taught that it is.
You're not talking different timelines, are you?
That is as well.
Okay.
You know? As well as different timelines, we could have multiple incarnations on this timeline. You know? So you could incarnate 12 places in the world. You could incarnate 2,400 places in the world and still not meet another person who is you. Maybe there's only one of us here. That's the idea of The Secret. So the idea of The Secret is that in the future, let's make a really mundane example. In your soul destiny, you deliver bouquets of flowers. Okay, so that's your destiny. That's what you're supposed to be doing according to your soul. You know, it's okay. Really mundane. It's just stupid. But anyway. So in order for that to happen, you've got to be able to have a driver's license. You've got to be able to have a car or a van. You have to have the necessary training. You have to have, you know, enough money to drive, you know, to fuel the van, etc., etc., etc. So all of those things are the things that you need in order to get to the point where your destiny is. Now, your destiny is something that is a fixed point in space and time, so it already exists.
Right.
So therefore, anything that you need to get to that place already exists for you, and all you need to do is orient yourself towards it, which is what we call asking. That's the secret.
Right.
God, I sound like Bashar.
But it doesn't sound that complicated.
It's not.
It isn't that complicated.
It's not at all complicated. And the reason it's made complicated is so that people can make money, because get part two of the book where I'll tell you how simple it is.
Well, guys, I really enjoyed this, but I do got to go. I got to get ready for my show at 10. So.
Okay, Tom.
I appreciate you doing a show over here at B, and I know it'll increase over the next couple of shows. You'd be surprised. I mean, everything is a little bit slow right now, and it will pick up, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you can advertise my show as I talk about stuff, right? And, it's weird stuff, and... I hope people...
I don't think it's weird stuff.
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's down-to-earth stuff, and it's... I enjoy listening to it, and I only listen to JP. This is probably my second time.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
But I appreciate you anyways, JP. And Hans, we'll talk to you later. Y'all have a good show.
Okay, Thomas. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tom, and I really appreciate you being around and helping
out. No problem. I'm always here, man. Just yell if you need me.
Bless your heart. So, Hans.
I'm in the spotlight now. Oh, yeah. Put me in the spotlight.
Yeah. Well, no, it's all right. I'll just talk, you know. I'll talk about stuff. My guest last night was Shari Edwards.
Okay.
She's somebody I actually met in real life in 1995 when I was living in Glastonbury. In England, and she gave a lecture about healing with acoustics, with sound, specifically with her own voice. And this was something that fascinated me, I was very, very interested in it. And somehow I recorded it with a tape recorder that I had. And then after the show, she said, did anybody record this? And loads of people said, oh, really? I want a recording, Like about 20 people wanted a recording. So I spent quite a bit of time actually hanging out with her while I was making all these, recordings using her system to duplicate them. So, I kind of got in there on the sound engineer level and, just kind of learned a bit osmotically and, just understood, just really got what she was doing and what she was saying. And it's fascinating stuff. Basically everything's got a frequency. Every person has a frequency. And,
I think frequencies are able to heal, or you can heal yourself with different frequencies.
Yes. Yeah. And what she's also saying is that we are able to reach that frequency ourselves. She uses Fourier analysis software in order to determine frequencies, but it is possible to do it yourself. You can do it.
And she teaches that.
Yeah, she that was the first thing she showed in this lecture, how you can do it. This is not about, buy my book. This is how to do it. And that's what I love about Shari. She's absolutely upfront. Her intention is clear, and it's nothing to do with making money.
Is that on Wolf Spirit Radio Archives?
Yes, in EB, Ever Beyond with JP.
Okay, I need to look that up and I need to do a follow-up on that I didn't listen to that.
Yeah. Well, actually, we've got a folder on the Wolf Spirit Radio Archives. We've got a whole folder of all the interviews that Shari has done with us. So you can actually look under Shari Edwards.
Oh, good. Thank you. Let me write this down so I don't forget. I make notes anymore.
Oh, good. Good man. You know, one of the first things that she was speaking about in the lecture, you know, 15 years ago was, God, no, it's actually 18 years ago. Well, her son, her own son, had a motorbike crash. And as with a lot of motorbike crashes, he lost his kneecap. His kneecap was smashed into a, you know, it's basically turned to powder. And, as, you know, as a mother, you know, you're shocked and horrified. And the doctor says, yeah, I'll never get better. But Shari, whenever she's presented with a person who is ill or distressed, she can hear a sound in her head. And she can sing that sound out. She's not a singer. She's not, she's no great opera singer or anything like that, because she doesn't use vibrato or anything like that, but she has perfect pitch and is able to visualize and hold that frequency and sing it back to them.
That's amazing.
And it comes out something like, and she can sing anyway. So this motorbike crash happened to her son, and she started doing his sound, his frequency, and the doctor said, "Yeah, this is how. Have I lost you, Hans? Hans, have I lost you? Hopefully, right. Okay, I think I've lost Hans for a minute. I'll bring him back." But I've still got the main show on, so you should still be hearing me on the show. Anyway, yes, okay, so where is everyone? Oh, Hans has quit, right, okay, he's gone offline. I'd like to kind of hold that story a little bit, she's also had her daughter had an accident, and her daughter jumped into a swimming pool without seeing that it wasn't full. It was very, very shallow, and she jumped in from her height, and she broke her leg. And when the ambulance was you know on its way, but Shari was there, and she sang to the daughter, and the daughter remained calm, and the wound, which was a compound fracture, and it had pierced the skin. It was a real nasty nightmare one, you know, the legs looking in a different direction and everything. But Shari kept on doing the note, just kept on singing the note at her, right up until the time when she got into the ambulance, and the ambulance, you know, started to close up and drive away. She stopped singing a note, and at that point the daughter started screaming in pain, and the wound started bleeding, and she got distressed. So this is one example of the power of sound that you can create with your own voice. You know, we have no need of medicine, we have no need of herbs, of other things. All we need is the sound, all we need is the voice. Are you back with us, Hans?
Yes, I am. I don't know how much I was saying, like, before we had all our language, like English, Latin, we actually had root languages that like Hebrew and Greek. And you could produce sounds that were actually healing sounds just by pronouncing or creating different sounds.
Yes, there's a flame in every word. The flaming words. I was just going to finish the story for you of Shari and her son. Her son had this kneecap that had been shattered, mm-hmm. and the doctors were just very very skeptical, and they said, you know, this is never going to heal, and he'll never be able to walk and stuff. And sure enough, after about 3 weeks, I think, when they did an X-ray, they found that there's a tiny little bone the size of a tiny coin. And this bone, you know, obviously he came back to the to the X-ray, and it was X-rayed, you know, a few months later, and she'd been using the sound and had it on the CD and everything, and he was playing it, and his kneecap has grown back and is, you know, fully functional. So,
oh wow.
You know, this is a long time ago. You know, she told us this story in 1995, I think.
That's still quite powerful, and it's amazing.
Yeah. So, emphysema. Emphysema is another speciality. It's deemed incurable, and yet, with one frequency, the person can breathe freely and easily again.
Wow. That's quite amazing.
Yeah.
And everybody could learn this. We wouldn't need no hospitals, we wouldn't need no doctors. But then they wouldn't make no money. Wouldn't that be something?
Oh, I'll be sad. You know, I think, you know, we still have need for surgeons, because people do cut their skin open and they do need sewing back together.
But oh, absolutely.
We have to be very aware that, you know, whatever a surgeon is no more than a seamstress, you know, somebody who sews things up.
Yes.
And cuts things open, and, you know, there shouldn't be that much glamour there. You know, shouldn't have more glamour than a seamstress.
Yes, I agree. You think it's ever going to change, JP, in our lifetime?
I certainly hope so. I think that the whole system has gotten to a point of such open corruption, and we're beginning to see the influence of the satanic pedophile network all over the place, in every direction of life, in every walk of life. Controlled by this ruling elite who are pedophilic and predatory and are just scamming their way through life, through our lives.
Yes, indeed. I tell you, things are getting so tough. It's just not fun anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It really isn't. Mm. I hope you're right. I mean, something has to change, because we can't go on like this. I mean, look, if the next generation, we'd be in trouble.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, you know, what I thought, this is the thing, you know, our generation, you know, I assume that you're born in either, yeah, you're a 60s kid, aren't you?
Yes.
Our generation, we were learning about things like psychoanalysis and sorting yourself out, and we were taking, like, till the age of 40 before we managed to get a semblance of being able to have a decent life and have, you know, have kids of our own and not mess them up.
Yes.
But still, you know, a lot of those miasms are going to get through. But what's good is that, you know, our kids grow up aware of being screwed up. You know, we didn't even know that we were screwed up. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Well, I know exactly what you're saying. And people could become more aware. But I don't think we have enough people that are aware at this point. Do you?
Well, here's the thing. You're aware that time is kind of speeding up in this,
yes,
in this kind of spiral fashion. I believe that awakening is going to follow that curve as well. And so, and of course, you know, awakening is like a fusion bomb. You know, one atom splits and hits another one, and that sends out loads of other particles, which cause lots of other things to split. Yeah?
Yeah. And it keeps accelerating at the same time.
That's right, because, you know, one one atom is going to send out eight neutrons, which then split eight more atoms. So it's going to go very quickly, exponentially. So that that's all that needs to be done. You know, all you need to do is just be. As soon as you realize what it is to be, just be, and then that sends out ripples in the local time-space fabric continuum, and it that ignites other people. We become literally radioactive.
Yes. Do you think you have a calling, JP?
I'm on it. Here yeah, I am. I'm still doing it.
I know. I'm still asking myself, what is my calling? What is my what am I here for?
So
other than living everyday life, you know.
Yeah, well, that's part of the college, right? Well, we're here to transform energy in some way. You know, that's my job. We have our skills. And for instance, I grew up, when I was 16 or so, I was into, you know, I started learning playing electric guitar. I started messing about with sound and tape recorders and learned how to make an echo unit out of tape recorders and you know, fiddling about with stuff like that and echo units and distortion and guitar pedals and, you know, processing sound.
With the old reel-to-reels.
With the old reel-to-reels and all that stuff. And then I found myself completely at random in a job. This job was busting up printouts from a computer that was being used by students in a university. And when when people came up to me, because I was just like the front, I was just a receptionist. It was literally, that was the name of the job, a receptionist. And I would take their cards and put them in a box, stick them in the computer, and then give them back their cards together with the printout that the cards produced. And people started looking at their programs and wondering why their programs didn't work. And then they would come and ask me, you know, like as if I knew. But what was weird was that I would just kind of look down the page. And I didn't know this language at all, but I would point to this place, and I said, "What about that?" And they would say, "Yeah, that's it. That's great. Thank you very much." it's like, you know, one of these kind of idiot savant. You know, I had no idea what I was looking at, but I knew that that's where it was wrong. So that got me into the world of computing, and I write programs, and I do PHP, and I make websites, and da da da. And so all of this stuff coupled together with this, with my, desire to learn about the esoterics, about the rays, the way that energy creates form. That's what esoterics is. It's from the inside outwards. And, that's part of my mission is to learn about that. But in learning about it, I came onto the internet and I was looking for people to teach me about this stuff, and I found no one. And I listened to lots of radio shows and Camelot, and I found myself at Rebecca Jernigan. And Rebecca, she had a great little chat room, and I met friends with common interests, and that's how we started Wolf Spirit Radio, because I met Dave in that chat room. And The thing is, is that I was looking for someone to teach me about the rays, and I looked everywhere and I couldn't find one. And then Rebecca herself asked me, "Would you like to come on my show?" Because her guides had told her to get me on the show. I said, "Well, you know, what do I know? I don't know anything. I know I'll talk about the rays. That's something I've learned about." So I started talking about the rays, and everybody in the chat room is going absolutely crazy. They're really happy and really amazed, and because it ties everything together, it's the key. So that's my radio career. That's how that happened. Is that I was looking for a teacher, and I realized that there was no one around, and I realized that I'm the one that I was waiting for.
And how long you been doing this, JP?
That was in 2010.
So it's 3 years, basically?
Yeah. So I'm getting to be a bit of a vintage now. And yes. What's interesting is that there's this generational thing, and I had experience of this at the university that because I would see the same I would see the students coming through and they'd be from the same departments, and they had the same look. Every 3 years there was a new cycle of them as they moved through from graduate to postgraduate, and they all looked the same. They had the same face but on a different body. That was the weird thing. Anyway, and I feel that this is what's happening with the show hosts, you know, that previously I was mentored, and, you know, actually this radio slot was Rebecca Jernigan's, because she asked me to take over one slot a week because she had too many shows to do at the time. Subsequently, she's left and then come back. But in that time, I've just been doing this regular once-a-week show on a Tuesday I had. And now I'm up here on a Monday, much later in the evening, which is, you know, I live in Britain, and I'd really like to have more people in Britain listen to my show live. So
what is 2:40 a.m. in Britain?
Correct.
It's late for Britain.
It's late for Britain. But, you know, I've got a few Nightbird friends as well as myself, you know.
Sweet. I think after listening to you, I mean, this is the second time I think you sent the right message, and I'm curious to hear more.
Oh, good, good.
I mean, I think if we all learn from each other, I think we can get a lot further than what we're doing now.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody's got a piece of the puzzle. This is the idea. And the rays actually tell you whereabouts in the picture the piece is.
I think we're all here for a reason. And we're all here to meet certain people, perhaps help us in our journey.
Certainly. I'm a very firm believer in the idea of multiple incarnations, you know, reincarnation, and yes. The idea that as a soul group we incarnate in large numbers, and that we all know each other, you know, from this very familiar feeling. Mm-hmm. And I've experienced this more and more. With sometimes guests and sometimes listeners, you know, people who call in, and it's very interesting because there is a certain ray pattern that suits the radio host more than others. It's interesting.
Yes, it is, most definitely. Mm. Do you recall any of your prior incarnations?
Well, interestingly, I'm currently working on the one before last, which was, and I was speaking to a friend of mine this evening about it because, they remember me from that time. And, it was the time of, it's Berlin in 1938. It's a very, you know, it's quite an interesting conversation that we had. Because we were killed by the same person who we both know in this community.
What?
At that time, he was an SS officer.
In Berlin?
Berlin in 1938, yeah. And I was a musician, so was my friend. And various other people, and it was cabaret. The film Cabaret, yes. Is more or less that sort. That's the kind of group that we were. And
how can you discover if you were previously someone else or reincarnated, or how did by meditation perhaps? I'm asking because I'm very unfamiliar with the subject.
All right. Well, here's the thing. I use a technique known as dowsing. Have you heard of dowsing?
It's like those people that found find water with a stick,
mm-hmm.
with a wooden stick, basically.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's one example of it. What the process of that is that your body is able to tune itself. And you tune, it comes through the heart center, and you're able to tune into whatever it is. And when you're tuned in, there's a certain fluid that flows in your body called qi. You've heard of qi, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Okay. When you're in the positive frame and you're in tune and aligned and everything's working, then there'll be a certain flow of qi in your body. Now, if you hold a pendulum, that flow of qi will produce a certain pattern that the pendulum will swing in. If you're using rods, the qi will cause the rods to be attracted towards each other. If you're using muscle checking, which is the method that I use, the qi will cause your thumb and little finger of your left hand to stick together like a magnet. And if you're in a positive, if you're in a negative, there'll be no strength to hold those together. It won't be like a magnet. They'll just come apart easily. Or the pendulum may swing in a circle, or the rods may not be attracted to each other. They may swing apart. And so by using that technique and intelligent guesswork, I would say is the best way of describing it. And that's how most intuitives work, is you create a story. You imagine a story that is kind of possible or likely, and then you check against the dowsing to see if that's real.
Okay, it's basically like, just like asking a question.
Yeah, you basically ask a question.
Sounds simple.
And the dowsing, it does, you know, all my stuff sounds simple, because it is simple unless you get your head in the way.
Yeah. I think we have overanalyzing things, yes.
That's right. Although I can, in order to satisfy the mind, I can supply explanations for a lot of this stuff. And I think this may help some people, particularly those of the third ray or the fifth ray mind kind of thing, because the mind needs something to chew on. It's like a dog, you know?
Yeah.
You give the dog something to chew on, it's quiet all evening, you know?
And you say that you have seven rays? Is that like your seven chakras,
correct,
basically?
Correct.
Okay.
There is a non-linear relationship between the chakras and the rays.
Okay.
Non-linear, in that it's not like, it doesn't go up in a line, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It doesn't do that.
Okay.
It's a kind of spirally, sort of circular, kind of three-ring kind of thing. I do have a website, which is 7rays.info, which has a diagram, very compact and interesting diagram that does show the positions of the rays in the body and some descriptions of what the ray color might be.
Okay. So it's 7rays.info?
That's right, SevenRays.info.
I got it. No, I have to look you up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, any information is helpful, I believe.
And that's right.
As long as we learn, we keep an open mind, I think we get a lot further.
Yeah. So on that, there's some textbooks that are downloadable that I haven't written, that have just been made available to me, and also there's recordings of my. Some radio shows from the beginning. Actually, it's got that one that I described earlier with the first time I was ever on the radio. That was that's still on the site there. A really good one is the one that I recorded with Kathy Buckaloo, and that's again in the radio shows listing. And that's got a really good kind of overview of what the rays are about, the rays and the bodies, you know, the etheric body, the physical body, the mental body, all that stuff.
Okay. You said you had a book as well?
No. Well, there is a book that's available called Tapestry of the Gods. It's not mine. It was written by Michael Robbins, but you can get it as a PDF.
Sounds great. I can't wait to read it.
Mm. Well, it's not really a reedy book. It's the reference book. But it, you know, you can read it. I mean, if you wanted to, you can go through it sequentially, especially if you got that seventh ray going on where you need to have everything. You have to have the whole collection, you know. Yeah. Some people are like that. I'm sorry, Hans, go on.
No, well, I'm just saying I'm new to this, especially the seven rays. But just if it's similar to the chakras, I know it's very powerful.
Yeah. Well, look, okay. So, for instance, let's look at the function of the seven chakras. In the middle is the heart.
Yes.
Okay. Below the heart is the diaphragm, and then below the diaphragm is the solar plexus.
Yes.
Okay, so the diaphragm is, if you like, a pivot point between the lower and the higher. And the relationship builds between the reflected chakra in the lower part and the higher part. So, for instance, the heart and the solar plexus, and then the throat and the sacral center. You see? That's okay. On the next one up.
Yes.
And then the crown center and the base center. And they form three rings, and that's known as the three initiations, when the rings are formed. And the rings are formed by these chakras relating to each other. And once you've got the three rings, then you're known as an initiate. And you're able to bring your monadic energy down into the world, which is like the highest possible spirit, your highest self. Mm-hmm. And this whole process, it cleanses the chakras through harmlessness. And the idea of harmlessness is to stop making karma, clean up all the karma that you've got, stop making karma, and then move into your heart zone. Because karma takes us into our solar plexus, into our lower self. Good. It's all that, you know, emotion and frustration that we have.
It's everything is so simple. you know, you wonder sometimes. We go to school for so many years, but what do we really learn? Honestly, I mean...
Well, if they taught this stuff at school, you'd be a genius by the time you were 16. You know? You'd know like a PhD by the age of 15.
Most likely you would be.
You know? This is what they don't tell you that stops us from being who we are.
Yeah, the truth has been, why, you know, the truth has been hidden for so long.
Yeah.
And just because of money, greed.
Power.
Yeah.
Power and like I said, you know, the knowledge is power, and this knowledge is very, very powerful. Because, by knowing this, you can know the behavior of another person, you can, you know, you can almost get inside people's heads, because you can tune in to what it is in yourself that is experiencing what they're experiencing. So you can develop, it is a tool for developing empathy and understanding. And yes, really, you know, rather than as a tool that some people, you know, might instantly think, oh, I can, if I know that, I can control people, you know.
But again, better understanding about others is so powerful.
Yes.
I mean, to be able to understand, it's like you and I talking, and we truly understand one another, with even with very few words spoken, we get our point across.
Yes.
I think that's powerful, honestly.
Yes. So, I should read your raid, actually. You're about 5 minutes away. Let's just give you a quick ray reading, okay? So let me just check in with Hans. And your monad is, ray one, ray two. Ray two monad, soul ray seven. Yeah, personality one, two, three, four, five. Ah, yeah, 275. Those are your rays. Two represents the highest, higher self, which is the, which is called the monad. And that's, on ray two, which is that kind of dictates the general intent of humanity, which is love. Your soul ray is ray seven, which is, the future incarnation ray, people who want to know rather than believe. You may be into things that are rhythmic. You may be a carpenter or a sculptor or a builder of some kind. Or you could be into the law, with 7-5, it could be, you may make precision tools or something like that. The fifth ray is the ray of knowledge. So you would be, the direction you'd kind of be drawn to, would be to be able to classify knowledge. Like you'd have, you've probably got a library and a vast number of tools that are all, on boards with their outlines and things.
Yeah. You're almost spot on there, JP.
Alright, well, that's the show. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. Thank you very much, Hans, for joining me. And
thank you for having me, JP.
You're very welcome. And
pleasure.
You all next week.
Bye-bye.
Join me tomorrow with Andrew Bartis on Wolf Spirit Radio for Soul Expressions. And good night.